It was a beautiful spring morning that particular day. That was many years ago. I found myself driving my boat full of camping equipment in my favorite lake. And if you don't know, there was a lake, a huge lake. It's an international lake. It's a federal lake on both sides. So you can basically camp on the edge of the lake anywhere you want, on both sides, on Mexican side and American side. This side I was going on the Mexican side. On the Mexican side is virtual wilderness. And I was going because of my brother asked me to take him and his teacher. His teacher was supposedly an avid outdoorsman. And so I said, okay. So we're going to go. And I said, sounds serious. So we went and we took off. And it takes around 20 or 30 minutes in the interior of Mexico in the Sierra Madres. So I chose one of my spots I go camping. It's in between a canyon. So we go out there and all the while he was looking and he was saying, there's nobody out here. And I said, no, there isn't nobody out here. And I explained to him, you're out in the middle of the wilderness. There is nothing. There isn't any RV hookups or lights or anything like that. So that should have been my first warning. But I was only in my, 19 or 20. But so we continued and I set up camp. And you know, those who've been familiar with camping, get your firewood. One guy gets this and get that. So we went and I said, let me get some bait and we laid our trot lines. And he went with us all the while he was looking. And so we went and we made supper and the whole 9 yards. And we were getting ready to bed down. And I said, you're going to sleep out just out here, like on the ground. And I said, yeah, we're going to sleep out there. And he said, right then and there, he could hear the coyotes howling, and they were, you know, in the canyons, they sing to each other, you know, one group sings to the other. And he said, why are they doing that? Well, because they probably smelled the food that we were cooking. I said, don't think too bad about that. And well, anyway, long story short, he didn't sleep the whole night. He kept the fire going and everything else. And I said, well, why are you doing that? Anyway, he could hear rustling and all that stuff. But I said, you want to come with me and check the lines in the morning? He said, no, I don't. He didn't feel like he. So I told my brother, you're going to stay with him. I this is getting bad. So I went and checked my lines. I came back and I noticed my brother was on the shoreline by himself. And I said, where's your teacher at? And he said he packed up all his belongings and left. And I said, what? I said, you realize we're like 50 miles from anything, you know, I said. And he said, let's go look for him. He said, why did he leave? He said he couldn't take it anymore and he left. So we go out and start looking for him. We can't find him. Which leads on to my sermonette. In my years of having a relationship with God, and it's taken me through two affiliations, and I've seen those that portrayed knowledge of the Word of God, the wisdom, and some held positions in those affiliations, only to see them with all they knew, and to get swallowed up in the wilderness we call the world. They couldn't take it anymore. They grew weary. Succumbing to new, you've heard all, I'm pretty sure most of you heard this, the new teachings, new ideas, or how about changes, and following leaders instead of godly principles. My title of my sermonette, brethren, is Resilience. We in God's church, especially those that took the rough road to get here, and most of us know what we're talking about, and we did not drink the Kool-Aid of deception. And we're still here, resilient. The definition of resilience has evolved through the years. According to the American Psychology Association, defines resilience as the process of adapting well in the face of adversity, trauma, tragedy, threats, or significant sources of stress, such as family relationships problems, serious health problems, and so on, financial and other things. Each of us have our own stories. You heard me mention about coyotes, right? And how the smell of food, they come a closer. They're resilient because they can adapt to us. We all have battle scars from life experiences and keeping the truth true to our faith. When I witnessed the disintegration of faith from those that I aspire, that I thought of highly of, I thought would stand firm, a parable came to mind. And it's a parable most of us are very familiar with. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 3-9. And starting from verse 3, on chapter 13 of verse 3, and this is Jesus talking to a multitude, right? Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow." I relate to that because I went out to sow, and man, I have a hard time for anything come up this year. Verse 4 ends, and he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them, and some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and so they immediately sprang up and they withered and died. So let's jump over to verse 8. We know pretty much what the storyline is. And it says, "But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60 and 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So that really caught my attention. That answered my question. After reading this, then I realized, it takes a while for me to realize things, the word of God falls on all of our ears and is up to us how we nurture it. Do we do something with it, knowing at times there will be repercussions? There's going to be repercussions for standing firm for what we believe and what our values are. We can all realize just by the 6 o'clock news what the world's value systems are. Those of work, family, and close friends. Those are the ones Satan works against us. I want to give you the R's of resilience. There's two R's. Regulate and reconstruct. You regulate your emotions. When you're going through the initial emotions that you go through when someone, it can be a family member, it can be at work, it can be just someone standing in line, or a family event, and say, "Well, Aunt Mary, she made this shrimp casserole from scratch, and won't you have this?" And you say, no, I'll pass on that." "Why?" And you get, a dozen set of eyes looking at you. Well, there I take a deep breath, count to 10, let your shoulders down. Experts say to take that immediately if you can, or move to one side and exercise that. Myself included, I used to go and wait till the end of the day and work off that frustration, which is experts say that really doesn't take care of, because everybody has an Achilles heel, right, in their body. Even though you might be in tip-tape shape, you have a weakness somewhere in your body. It can be, some of us it's an intestine, some of us our brains, some of us our bone structures, but it's a weakness that stress goes and attacks. Take it immediately and take a deep breath, hold it for 10 seconds, and let the pressure release. It's as simple as that, experts say. Don't wait till the end. I remember going to a friend's, I received a phone call from a friend of mine saying, hey, you'll finally get to meet him. I haven't seen him in 10 years. Why don't you swing by the house? And, I'll touch and go, we'll swing by. I swung by and he had a barbecue going. It's, oh, it's great. And I have, now, remember, I haven't seen him and talked to him in a long time. Here he comes with a big plate of barbecue pork ribs. Boom. And I said, and that's all we're having? That's the stressful moment I'm talking about. That then and there. The second one is, the second R is the reconstructing. They call that reconstructing or cognitive reframing. That's what these psychologists call it. It's reaffirming what you say no to, right? And for us, we know if they ask us, challenge us about the Sabbath, we know we're doing the right thing because we know the fourth commandment. And we know the book of Leviticus about our dietary restrictions. So that's how we can reframe or reaffirm our beliefs. Yes, reinforcing your thoughts in a positive way. Saying, yes, I'm doing the right thing. Reinforcing yourself what trial you're going through, that and that you're affirming or you're reaffirming is true. It can be work challenging the Sabbath. You just tell them your position and honor it. Leave it to God. Sometimes it might come good, sometimes it might come bad. But we'll be able to take both. That's part of the trial. Because you know what? Stress eats at your body. I'm going to share with you, that's what we say in Texas, all y'all, my favorite scripture. Being over 30 years, working 30 years in the government, you've learned these two R's. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. This is my favorite one. That's the one I went to all the time when I went through some teeth-gritting scenarios. This is out of the King James Version. It says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Think about it, brethren. God, creator of heaven and earth, is with you. You got him on your side. Then no human can go against. Who dare can go against God? A heathen. Somebody that doesn't know God. So if God wants you on this path, you're going to walk on this path. And take the hit. Yeah, take the hit. Even though your feelings might be hurt, you know, just go ahead and suck it up. And you will see the doors open before you when you go through that trial. Opportunities will be presented to you. To go through trials, or what they call rough patches, some of us rougher than others, because sometimes it takes some of us a while to hit home dirt. I admonish everyone, don't quit. Be that ground that nurtures the Word of God so it can grow its roots. The only way you grow roots is through trials. That's the only way we do it. There's no easy fix about it. And remember, regulate and reconstruct equals resilience. You have to go through those two processes, brother. That's what makes us resilient. That's why we're here today. The guest that left that camp that day, that teacher, the one that quit, the one that couldn't take it anymore, my brother and I spent days looking for him. Finally, we went and packed up our stuff and we called. This is before cellular phone, by the way. We managed to get a phone and we called his house. And I said, why? And I was talking, expecting for his wife to call, answer the phone and say, hey, your husband just left the camp. Pulled an Irish goodbye. You know what an Irish goodbye is, right? I don't know if you know what an Irish goodbye is. They always blame the Irish for something. Irish goodbye is leaving a group, or leaving a party or leaving a gathering without saying goodbye, you know. And they always put an Irish in there. But they try to, it's affiliating because the Irish mass exodus because of the potato famine. They didn't say goodbye to the English. How dare they? Anyway. Well, he answered the phone. And we're like, what? What are you answering the phone? And he acted like nothing happened. I said, where were you? He said, I left. He said, I'm not going to deal with this. You know, so, okay, since I was a younger, and I said, okay, sir, you left. And I said, I just walked back. And I don't believe that. I really think he came to the shore and he found a fisherman, you know, those fishermen that are walking, and he, you know, did that. And they gave him a ride, and he got called his wife. But anyway, he didn't walk. But you'll get people like that, you'll encounter. You think, man, that person is knowledgeable. Don't go on what he or she is. Don't go by me or anybody. Go on your belief, your relationship with God. Because we will fail you, you know. Let's practice to be resilient, brethren. Continue the R's. Fear God and keep his commandments.